Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint XP Podcast. Check out our international radio show and daily podcast at checkpointxp.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to the Checkpoint XP Podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint XP radio show, talking about lifestyle stuff and, living that XP life.
Lifestyle stuff.
That's right. That's right.
The XP aesthetic.
That's right.
There we go. There. Yes.
Hey, aesthetics. You know what? I like that name, actually.
It's not bad. My name's Nate Benner. I'm joined by the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Podchamp.
Norris Howard.
Boss up and get this money.
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
So we like to start off the show.
Yeah.
With some iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
Apple Podcasts. I gotta
remember. Have some?
We do.
I didn't say we get some.
Yes. All right. We do.
Oh,
how many,
that's exciting.
How many do you want?
How many we
like
get?
Like 20 if you can do it.
We got four.
Four?
No, bad. You know what? I say two now, two next week in case they let us down.
That's fair. All right, two.
That's
now.
Fair. All right. So our first review coming to us from Bazinga 65566.
65566. Okay.
Says better than a Mrs. Freshly's. That's an old joke. That's right. An old callback.
That old chestnut.
It's actually pretty shameful how long I've listened to these gentlemen without leaving a review. A crime I now mean to remedy.
Aww. Very good.
They will infuriate you as often as they delight you, but nice. That's all just part of the fun. Definitely check out these guys. Torquil Rather Dashing. Thank you, Torquil.
Oh, Torquil.
Thank you.
Do you want a long one or a short one?
Where's your ass in the chat? We ain't seen you in a minute.
It has been a moment.
I like the long ones.
You like the long ones?
The long ones.
Whoa. Can we get a drop of that?
Phrasing!
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, like throwing a hot dog down a hallway, Robbie.
All right. So this one comes to us from Volkai. The last best podcast you'll ever want.
Aww.
Turns out you can put in a new review after 6 months. I didn't know that.
Oh, the Volkai?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder why it's long.
Since my last review, the Checkpoint XP crew has addressed my complaints over over-reliance on the word whatnot is gone. And while still not airing in Detroit, having Checkpoint XP daily on Apple Podcasts is a big step up from Mixcloud. Checkpoint Radio is the first and best source for video games. It's Checkpoint XP. Buddy, for video games and esports news. But thank you very much,
we appreciate
Volkai,
it.
For the review.
Since you want to correct people.
Yeah, thank you for all the nice stuff and whatnot that you said.
we really appreciate it. By the way, make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you can. That's the best way that they come to us. We appreciate all the reviews that get in. And also, make sure that if you haven't, you leave a review over on the Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast. That's also available through Apple Podcasts. We read that reviews from that every Monday.
That's right.
On the Daily Show.
Well, and apparently if it's been 6 months, go leave us another review.
That's right. Currently we have 37 reviews on the Checkpoint XP Daily
Podcast.
How many
good? How many bad?
That's a great question. Our average is 4.8 out of those 37 reviews. So
hey.
I'm going to say that it's mostly positive. And then, by the way, for this show, we have 147 reviews. So
wow.
I want to thank everyone for your time and going over and reviewing the show. If you haven't done it yet, or maybe it's been 6 months since the last time,
the show has changed.
It has changed quite a bit. Make sure you track the show down on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. So we got a lot to talk about today because we want to talk about gaming merch and the way that we just wear the love for gaming on our sleeve. That's going to be coming up here on the Checkpoint XP Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP.
Esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. All right, so, you know, I was thinking as I was driving in today that, you know, like, what is the reason that, you know, people giving money to streamers is like a, such a normalized thing? Because it happens so fast, right? Like that relationship between streamer and donor really happens so fast and was so like it lit up so quickly. You got to wonder, where does that come from? And I think that there's been a real lack of, you know, video game merchandise from when we were young, yeah. You know, to be able to consume. Because that's one of the things, like, there was so little of that that I was able to partake in as a kid that now exists everywhere, right? Like, it's so easy to go out and find memorabilia, paraphernalia, branded for your absolute
both
favorite.
Expensive and cheap.
Exactly. Branded for your favorite video game
franchise. I mean,
franchise.
This is literally the only reason why GameStop is still in business.
It's true.
Well, quote unquote, in business.
Yeah, you're right.
They're hanging on, kind of.
Yeah, you're right. No, but I mean, I think it's a very, very interesting thing when you think about it, because like everybody has a sort of a console or platform that they're loyal to, and nobody really kind of questions that. And everybody has game series that they love, but for a little bit, at least where I grew up, if you wore game paraphernalia back in the day, that was licensed to get beat up, unless it was something that was like truly. Like dope, you know what I'm saying? Like, one, you know, something associated with maybe like GTA or something.
Sure.
Certain brands, sure.
Like, one of the things that I got teased about, you know, one of the very first things that I got teased about by some of my classmates was, I don't remember who did it, but somebody did branded Mario toys where like it had a spring on the bottom, mm-hmm. and it has suction cup.
I remember like those, yes. And they would pop up. Yeah. Yeah.
And I had some of those.
Mario 3 because you had the Tanuki suit Mario.
Yep, yep, you're 100% right. And I had those. And I had them in my backpack one day.
Mm-hmm.
And someone found them and like teased me. That, like there was like 7 or 8 kids that teased me mercilessly. And that was one of the first times that I felt like I was an outcast or ostracized from my peer group. And it's weird how, you know, first of all, how they used to be so rare back in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, don't get me wrong, but for how commercially successful video games were, mm-hmm. you would have thought that there would have been a lot more effort to parlay that into
jumped on it a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, I think apparel wasn't necessarily hot like that back in the day, right? It was all about toys, cereal,
okay,
a bunch of other stuff.
See, I definitely think that our generation helped to push that forward. The idea of not just gaming culture, but nerd culture in general. And I think there's two reasons for that. The first, I think, is that we identify more with what we do and what we love than the generations before us did, right? And despite what the boomers might think, we are all fiercely loyal to our brands. But there are brands,
right?
Right? Yeah. Don't give a crap about Diamond or Red Solo Cups or Applebee's or whatever. But when it comes to Marvel or, you know, the stuff that we grew up with, though, the games, you know, Metal Gear Solid, you know, like that, we are fiercely loyal to that. And we want to be able to show it off to people.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I think back to when I was growing up, you know. Dude, it wasn't Gen Xers or boomers that made Japanese import stores a thing that you found in every single mall across America.
It was older millennials.
100% older millennials that were into, you know, the media that would be imported, you know, the culture that was being imported.
When the anime boomed at the turn of the century.
Yes. And that's the thing is, like, you know, I think that millennials don't really even realize their own economic power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at two huge industries that we've basically built with our spending power. And that's been video games. I mean, Gen X has a little bit of
But to where it is now is millennial.
The streaming culture and everything like that, that is 100% millennials. But we also were the ones that were importing anime and watching anime and real, like, so we built the anime boom as well.
Yeah, it's true. And like, I don't know how many of you guys remember, you know, having, you know, maybe a couple of well-off friends who maybe their family had satellite or something that they may get some sort of international channels. And you'd be like, yeah, man, I'm way ahead. It was probably a lie, of course, because you never went over to this kid's house. But they sat back and be like, oh, yeah, I'm way ahead on Dragon Ball Z, man. I'm on the Android saga.
I always thought that that was a lie until I went over to my aunt Courtney and Uncle John's house, and they had some weird channel that showed subbed anime, and it was legitimately way ahead of where Toonami was.
Oh no!
Yes.
Oh, that would have.
I knew who Mr. Satan was before he was a
Hercule.
Before he was Hercule.
That's crazy because like so many, I thought that was always just like myth and rumor.
No,
that was something.
It's
that
not. There was. I don't even remember what channel it was, but it was some obscure cable channel, and they did. They showed original episodes of Dragon Ball subbed and Dragon Ball Z. That's a real thing. That's a very real thing.
But it's like, but perfect example of this is like, I believe earlier in the week, like Sailor Moon was trending on Twitter, and the only like you saw Paris Hilton commenting about Sailor Moon and a bunch of other
she cosplayed as
that. So like, that's the thing, is that there are a bunch of people who are our age and a little bit older and definitely younger who completely resonate with this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and it's just like in a way it's our sports teams, you know, because a lot of people in nerd culture aren't necessarily into sports,
right,
or even esports for that matter, but they're into their tribe, you know, their game, right, or their anime.
That's the thing. Unlike generations past, no one anymore is a fan in solitude. You are a
that's
fan.
True.
Being a fan is
you ain't gotta hide it.
Experience nowadays. And I think part of it is that growing up, so many of us kind of had to keep the things that we were fans of secret or quiet because you did open yourself up
to
being picked.
I mean, how many times in your own friend group of people that you know and are friends with, you'd bring up something that no one else either has context for or is into?
I took pride in that because I was that friend. And I took pride because
hipster.
People were like, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, just forget about it. It's really cool, but you wouldn't understand. And like, I was that kid when I would be talking about freaking Escaflowne or something like that. They'd be like,
Escaflowne.
What are you talking about?
That was on Fox Kids for a while.
It sure was. Mm-hmm.
Really?
And then when
Escaflowne?
It came
yeah.
It sure was.
For one season, I think.
One season.
Wow.
One season. But that's the thing, man. It's, you know, and especially when we talk about game merch and game sort of tchotchkes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's like a new thing, man.
It is.
That's a fairly recent phenomenon.
To find in the quantity that you do these days, that's a brand new thing.
But look around, and even people our age at so many places, when you see them just out at a bar or whether it's at work or whatnot, you know, like so many in the generations before them, they got to a certain age, put the graphic tees away, got a bunch of button-down shirts, and that's what they wear now. But our generation,
Wait, our generation?
I would say a little older than our generation.
Like my age?
Late Gen Xers.
I feel like you're on the cusp of this.
Well, you know what that's called? It's called Xennial.
That's stupid.
It's so dumb.
That's stupid.
It's so dumb.
We're not doing that.
Fucking hate it. We're
not
doing fucking hate it.
We are not doing
that.
That
term. No,
we're not doing that.
So, yes, I am on the cusp. I'm right. I mean, 84 was the year that I was born. So,
and they say millennials start at 83. So,
yeah. So, like, I'm like right there. But I mean, I get it. Yes, like younger Gen Xers. I don't. You know, like when I see people my age out at the bar, though, I definitely see a lot of graphic tees.
Yeah.
I definitely see still a lot of cargo shorts.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
I feel it must be that a little bit older than us, that the, you know, some mid-Gen Xers, but there was this run of people where they just, they put it all away, and that was it.
That's what you were supposed to do.
Our generation said, screw that, this shirt's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm wearing that. And it's the same thing. Norris, I thought you made a great comparison point. What sports were to the generation before us, our fandoms have become to us.
Oh, totally.
No, without a doubt. Because, I mean, how faux pas was it to wear your jersey out when it wasn't game day for people like our parents' age. Like, you didn't see it very much. You didn't see a lot of guys walking around in their full-blown sports paraphernalia, you know, on days that weren't Sunday or the weekend. Maybe, you know, okay, I got to run the Lowe's, so I'll throw on my Lions jersey or I'll throw on my Steelers jersey and go to the hardware store and come back. Like, that's when Dad wore his, you know, his tribal wear, if you will.
Right, right.
But when it was time to rep the tribe.
Yeah, you know, or you have, you know, a jersey day at work or something like that. That's when you wore it. But you didn't see it at the bar. You didn't see it, you know, at, you know, social gatherings. You know, they were still buttoned down up. Happy hour culture and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Seeing that sort of kind of fall off and now come back because it's millennials doing it, all this stuff is acceptable. You know what I mean? It's acceptable now. First of all, everything's more casual. But it's acceptable now, you know, to rock your graphic tees to the bar and stuff. Nobody cares.
You can even actually see it, like, perfectly in practice here in the radio station.
Oh, you see the generational
where
cutoff. We
work. Yeah, like, there's people who still wear, like, you know, either nice clothes or even straight-up suits. And then you get to, like, the younger generations who, yeah, walk around their graphic tees or in their esports.
Like, how would you feel if our station manager walked in here right now with a full-blown, like, Duo Maxwell Gundam Wing, like, graphic tee?
That would be weird.
So weird.
That would be weird.
I feel like we would sit here in stunned silence for the better part of 20 minutes.
And he'd be like, what?
What? Yeah, he's just, like, trying to talk to us, and we're just like,
I think we know what we have to get him for, like, Christmas or something.
Totally get him a Gundam Wing graphic tee.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, that would be really, really weird.
You know, part of it is obviously also the proliferation of technology and, like, the internet and stuff like that. Because, like you guys
e-commerce.
Said... growing up, if there was nobody else who was into it that just made fun of you, you kept it to yourself. But now you can find those other fandoms
online. And that's to the point that I was trying to make. Like, actually importing stuff from Japan. Like, when it was still goddamn difficult, we were doing that.
I mean,
right?
Convincing your parents, right, to, like, open this catalog because things were still in print back in the day. Or if you were one of the, you know, select privileged few who were on the whole e-commerce wave, if you will. But convincing your parents to purchase something from another part of the world that was going to take 3 weeks to get there.
Yeah.
I mean... That was a tough hill to climb
in 99. Trying to convince him that 500 yen is not actually that
$500.
Much.
$500.
No, totally. I mean, like, I remember I had bought a Green Day Japanese import single because it had a bonus song on it that didn't come on the normal album. And, like, that song... I still don't think that you can really find that song in a bunch of places. And so, like, yeah, like, I really legitimately think that, you know, we as a generation have much, much more economic impact than we give ourselves credit for. And, you know, to me, if we're able to prop up something like anime, which has become a massive industry.
Oh, yeah.
Think about the other things that if we got behind it, we could legitimately prop up and support.
Well, and I think, like, the things that we do get behind this sport, like Robbie was hinting earlier, it's just the reason we see so many articles about millennials is because it's just not the things that they care about.
Yep.
We pick our own things that we like.
Millennials are spending less money where you want us to spend it, but go check out microtransactions and Twitch. We're spending way more than we should be.
That's such a great point, though, because as so many millennials are turning to e-commerce and microtransactions, you can't say, oh, millennials aren't, you know, they aren't going to restaurants anymore, and then in the very next article say millennials are propping up restaurant culture. It doesn't make sense.
I really want to get into, I want to dive a little bit deeper into this point and talk a little bit more about the way that millennials have given digital goods real value. That'll be coming up next here on the Checkpoint XP podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP,
Esports and Gaming Radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast. You know, before we took the break, we were talking about digital items and having value and how that is a distinctly millennial thing, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Can you imagine boomers like fully wrapping their head around the idea of a digital item holding value?
Listen, from the conversations that I had to have to get a ongoing subscription to Final Fantasy XI. No, I had to explain, like, but it's entertainment that's constantly updating. It's no different than going to the movies on a regular basis. And my parents could not accept that concept.
Well, maybe this is just the Xennial in me, but there is a part of me that does understand.
Sure.
Why older generations look at this as so stupid. And part of me wonders is, like, are we really getting played here?
I think
because
right?
We definitely are. Because when you buy something that has no, it's not a physical product, you can't resell it. It doesn't have a secondary market value.
But here's the thing.
And when it does tomorrow, you don't have anything.
No, but here's the
When it does, look at Valve. Look at Valve and allowing gun skins to have a secondary market. You start getting into all kinds of ethical problems with buying and selling and trading those things.
But those ethical problems just exist with the concept of resale to begin with. So here's the sort of comparison I always draw is that everything, this is intrinsic value, because something like a skin in a video game ultimately does nothing for you. You cannot eat it. You can't provide warmth. It doesn't really satisfy the foundations of Maslow's hierarchy, if you will, right?
Right.
But neither does something like baseball cards. It's literally, it's a physical thing.
That's not true. Baseball cards can sometimes increase in value over the years. There was a secondary market that.
But what I'm saying is that is an intrinsic value based on rarity, but it does not provide anything fundamental to the human experience in terms of sustenance.
I understand that, but that's even one more level of that, because now let's say they shut the game down forever. Mm-hmm. Your digital item that you paid $16 for that had value at that time now is literally a pile of dust.
At it in your hand.
Yeah, you can't. You don't even get the value out of that that you paid for. Okay. So there is a part of me that goes, oh, yeah, I do understand this criticism.
Here's a better example. Beanie Babies. Everybody bought Beanie Babies in droves because everybody assumed that Beanie Babies
was an item that lost their value.
But everybody assumed that at some point Beanie Babies would have value. Guess what? They didn't.
Yeah,
they
but
didn't.
no one can like turn off the Beanie Baby value market.
No.
I understand that that's where it went, right? Like the bottom falls out of markets all the time, but it's not because somebody turned a key to a server to off, right? Like that's an added layer of risk in an investment.
All right, and to be fair as well, to Nate's point, if someone flips that switch, your closet of what could be used as firewood doesn't vanish.
All right, fine.
Yeah,
you can still burn them for warmth.
I mean, I get it. Like when you talk about like a digital good, but we're talking about something. When we're talking about digital goods, the problem is that we call them goods. They're actually not.
They're not goods.
They're an experiential service. And that's what that is at that point. You are paying for something experiential, something that when you look at it, you experience it and you like it more.
Yes. Comparing it to movies is probably one of the greatest.
Compare it to any kind of entertainment.
Yeah, because everybody is going
to
pay to go see a movie.
Correct.
But you walk out with nothing more than you walked in with.
You walk out with nothing.
Right.
You walk out with an experience.
Correct.
A story to tell.
That's the problem with calling them. We call them digital goods because we think of them as a skin or a hat or something. So they call it a good. But it's actually not. You're paying for an experiential thing.
Well, and to that point, this is stuff that, you know, before 5-10 years ago, you didn't have a way to monetize it.
Correct.
Right? Like now that you have the internet and a DLC added content, those kind of things, like that value is now written in permanently. And I'm not saying that there is no, like that there is, I'm not saying that there is no value. I can, what I'm saying is that like the fact that there is a lock. Like a lot of times, if you buy a skin, you can't skin trade it. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Like it's not something that will have any kind of intrinsic value that can increase or decrease.
Beyond the life
like,
of the game.
Exactly. And I like your comparison to an experience because it is very similar to that. But what a weird experience to be paying for. I want my power armor to look like this. I'm willing to pay $16 for it.
And by
like,
the way,
the amount of money also that we're paying for these things is, when you think about it, ridiculous.
And while the millennial generation is partly to blame for that, and we have to accept part of the blame, I'm telling you, Gen Z is way worse about it than we are.
Yeah, they are because they learned it from us. It's normalized.
Oh,
no.
It's not faux pas.
Don't you give me that PSA. I learned it from you, millennial.
But it's the truth.
I don't want to be responsible.
But it's
for
the
that.
Truth. Joe. Okay. Everybody in here has purchased some sort of digital good. Every one of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so if our younger siblings or our children or whatever end up being people who purchase microtransactions and digital goods, can we really in our, you know,
do we really have
do
the
we really have a leg
on?
To yeah. stand on no. to say, oh, this is predatory, you shouldn't do it.
Within
no.
our generation, right, it's pretty split. People who think microtransactions are fine, DLC is bad, blah, 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 blah. But those growing up, it's always been there, so it's just normal for them.
No, but that it doesn't matter. They need to be better than we are. The generation before us literally set the planet on fire. We still have to be better than that. We can't just say, well, they did it.
I feel you, but this is also one of those types of things where you got to ask yourself, you know, how detrimental is it if it's something that gets sussed out from a predatory point of view?
Yeah.
If it's, you know, everybody has talked about, you know, the benefits of something like medical marijuana or whatever, right? Again, look at how quickly the national narrative on marijuana changed because of a generation.
Yeah.
One generation, right? So you had generations of people who have smoked marijuana and never went to a marijuana psychosis and killed anybody, and yet it was still demonized for the better part of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. So now we get to where we are now, and because one generation said, you know what, it's really not even all that serious, let's stop putting people in jail for it. That's the difference. If we sit back and we say, all right, guys, loot boxes or microtransactions are cool, but we can do it a little bit better. And then the future generation gets it, and it's not even that big of an issue because everything has been put out in the front. I don't think at that point we really have a leg to stand on in terms of the validity or the predatory nature of loot boxes at that
point. And again, we give it value because we assign it importance. Like
exactly.
That's why, that you know, when you have someone online who's bragging about, you know, the skin that they just bought, and somebody else is going, oh, that's so cool, I want it too, the market is working.
Yeah. So I guess to summarize, no, Karen, we do like our skins, but we don't think napkins are cool when we're not buying them anymore. They're dumb. I didn't realize that millennials had murdered the napkin market, apparently. We did. And then I thought, I've never bought napkins in my life.
No, because we do shit like wash our hands.
Well, we wash our hands and we use paper towel, which is objectively better in every way.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I had to get that thing about napkins out there because people have been driving me nuts with it. So, sorry.
They've been driving you nuts about napkins.
I've seen like 5 memes about it in like the past day about like how millennials kill the napkin.
When you say napkins, you mean like
squares of paper.
Squares of paper napkin.
Correct.
Like handkerchief napkin.
No. Well, I think the gen before us killed the handkerchief, right? Like that was.
I mean,
our
handkerchiefs
generation.
Are dope. I want them to come back because you
reuse
them.
Listen, Norris, you like pocket squares, okay?
They are. They're nice. But I get it. Listen, paper towel is better just in general.
It is.
It is. I completely agree.
Well, I think I've had a pack of napkins that sit in the corner of my
and they're essentially the same
kitchen.
Damn thing anyway.
I always use the paper towel.
They are not.
Nate.
Paper towel is immensely more absorbent, okay?
And it's
is
better
just
in every way.
This took a weird turn.
Nate, let me ask you something.
This is Joe's fault.
Those napkins that have been sitting in your kitchen, did your mom bring you those when you moved into the house?
I think so, yeah.
Sarah's mom gave us a pack of napkins when we moved into the house. We have never used one, and I'm convinced they will stay there till the day we move out.
Yeah. Well, paper plates too. That's something that I like. My parents are huge on. I'm like, that's so
not if
wasteful.
I'm in the house. If that's I barbecue,
so wasteful.
If I barbecue,
if you're at a barbecue or you're at a place, you know, like plastic silverware and paper plates, that's fine. It makes sense.
Just
if you're nowhere
the
near the house
as soon as you're done with it.
Let me bring this back on track. This is Joel's fault once more.
This one was my bad.
I'm gonna ask everybody a question. What is your favorite piece of gaming related merch that you own?
Ooh,
my esports jerseys, probably.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, only something that, you know, I just recently started buying and collecting. But yeah, man, I love being.
I'll
able
tell
to wear
you
them.
That the Houston Outlaws sort of Astros mm-hmm. throwback looking mm-hmm. third kit, it's fire.
I'm gonna say I've probably got three pieces okay. that are my favorite.
Okay.
The first is the Buster Sword that hangs above my television
that's
in my,
pretty cool.
in my
yeah,
living
that's
room.
That's awesome, yeah.
Right? Like, it, the way, it, especially because my dad made the mount that it sits on.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
so, like, it's just, like, it really fits really well right there, especially between the two media towers. It's I just love that.
Yeah.
The second one, I would say, is probably one of my prints that I have hanging up. Maybe the Metal Gear Solid print
yeah.
that I have in my hallway. Really enjoy that. And then the third one would be the T-51 helmet in the center of this
The Fallout helmet.
The Fallout helmet, yeah.
Joe, you own a lot.
I own a lot of gaming merch. I'm really, really struggling with this. I've got an original Shining Force with the cartridge and the manual in the box.
That's a game.
I
said gaming-related paraphernalia.
Yeah, but it goes on the shelf at this point.
Paraphernalia only.
I've got a print from Mass Effect 2 that I really, really like.
So the Tali one where she's like looking in the mirror?
It is, yes.
I have that same one.
That's a great
That's a good print.
A great print.
That, yeah.
And I also have the Final Fantasy 25th anniversary picture with the Amano art from all the games.
Oh, nice.
Oh!
That's pretty cool.
I want that.
I've got that framed
well,
in my living room.
I was going to say, we know where he lives.
That's a good point.
And you guys are the reason I finally started locking my door.
You think locks
you got windows.
Well, what about you, Robbie?
I went first.
Robbie went first.
His,
I didn't
jersey.
Go.
Oh, his esports jersey.
Yeah, I didn't go.
Well, what's yours, Norris?
Thank
Sorry.
You. Anyway, I don't know. I don't have that much, but the few that I have, I really like. I think one of them I really like actually didn't cost me a thing. Is I have a FIFA Ultimate Team card of myself
that
I was able to get at a FIFA event.
Well,
that
you
I think
really
is
like
really
that
cool.
Street Fighter Uniqlo shirt that you got. Too,
I
man.
Love both of my Street Fighter mm-hmm. Uniqlo T-shirts, which I think are absolutely awesome. And I'm pretty sure there's something else, but I think those are like the ones that stick out to the most to me right now.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. All right. We're going to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Share your favorite piece of gaming merch with us. Take a picture of it and share it with Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks so much for joining us for the Checkpoint XP podcast. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, and a whole lot more. That's all over at CheckpointXP.com. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, my name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to CheckpointXP.com.